The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, that is neat. There's several new people in that group, and that is neat to see those that's joined that group as well. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, look at Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, as I read just a moment ago, where it says, and now it says, and not only so, it says, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Then it goes on to say, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, I want to speak tonight about hope remembers. Hope remembers. Most of you remember the time of what we called the Y2K bug. You remember the panic, how people were thinking, oh, there's going to be blackouts all over the nation. There's going to be a financial freeze. There's going to be traffic jams everywhere. Everything's going to be out of control. There's going to be disasters. There's going to be a food shortage. There's going to be looting in the streets. I mean, everybody was stocking up. It was a great time to be a generator salesman, you know, be able to sell all the generators. It would have been a great time to sell a bunch of generators. Man, the water market just took off. You know, so a great time to sell generators, great time to sell water. And then, of course, we grew very suspicious about technology, and then none of that happened. None of it happened whatsoever. Then it was followed by a presidential race. You remember that? A presidential race of President Bush that almost caused a colossal collapse of what we would call a constitutional crisis. You remember, of course, in Florida, they went back, recounted the votes, and all this other stuff. And I think after right as he was taking the oath, it was like, wow, we finally made it. And he was in office. Then that was followed by the demise of the dot-com industry. Remember how that kind of deflated the stock market? You remember, of course, all the dizziness of the heights that went up there with the market, and a lot of people was caught. They were dishonest. Of course, you remember Enron. You remember Martha Stewart. You remember all that took place there. Then that followed, of course, by the World Trade Centers. I've been on top of them many, many times, at least the one. You could go up and see the New York City landscape and the skyline area. But you remember, of course, the collapse of both of those historical markers as we were attacked. And, of course, the plane into the Pentagon, the other one going down, of course, in the field. The other one, of course, not even getting out of range. Then that was anthrax after that. Remember the anthrax scare? You know, where all of a sudden people were afraid, you know, that there's something white, and people used it for hoax, but then there was real anthrax, and there was an anthrax scare. You know, we've been through a lot, and it just seems like that one thing after another has hit America. Now we have businesses that are shutting down, middle-sized businesses that are just downgrading because they're afraid of the Obamacare and all that is going to take place there, and just a lot of things that's taking place. But not just in our society, not just here as a nation, but there's individuals that have things that hit them broadside. A doctor may diagnose somebody with cancer, and on the lab report, they'll write that awful word, cancer, and they give it to somebody. A judge may sign the papers of a divorce document. People go through different individual type of trials and tribulations. Businesses close because, after all, they don't see any way with the taxes and everything going up and taxes on top of taxes. How in the world can I keep my small business open? And so they shut the door. Middle-sized businesses turning into small businesses because, I said just a moment ago, of the Obamacare and all the regulations, and just can't get insurance for all the people. Maybe it's a 15-year-old that writes a letter to a mom and dad, said, I had enough. I just don't want to put up with authorities in my life. I'm going to find someplace else to live. It might be a dad or a mom that all of a sudden they just stop praying. They stop attending church. They stop being obedient to God. They just kind of give up, if you will, on things that's happening, and they just kind of walk away from God. Might be some other individuals that get mixed up in certain things. They feel defeated. Maybe they feel failure. Maybe they feel like they just can't make it. Let me give you some things tonight about some valleys. A couple months ago, about a year ago, I preached a message in here. A couple months ago, I preached the message in our college about how to make it through valleys. If you haven't heard that message, one of the most encouraging messages you could ever hear about valleys and how to make it through, you can get on the internet, listen to it. Just go to our media department there, punch in the word valleys. Listen to it. It could be a great help to you. But tonight, I want to talk to you about valleys. I'm going to hit it from a different perspective tonight and help us to see how valleys come, maybe why they come, and how to overcome them. Let me give you a couple statements tonight. You ready? Valleys are inevitable. They're going to happen. They're inevitable. They're going to happen. Those valleys are going to take place. Here's what it says in Psalm 23 and in verse 4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, so a valley is going to come. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So valleys are going to come. You don't want them to come. We don't know when they're going to come. We don't know how they're going to come. But there's going to be a day when you walk through a valley. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 12, the Bible says, yea, though all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He didn't say might suffer persecution. He said shall suffer persecution. So there's going to be a day, if you do live godly, somebody's going to persecute you. Somebody's going to disagree with you. There's going to be some persecution come. What are you going to do when persecution comes? Matthew chapter 13, verse 21, the Bible says, hath he not rooted himself? Listen to it now. But it says, but dureth, it says, for a while. Then when tribulation, it says, or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. Sometimes a person that's not rooted and grounded in Christ through the word of God, when all of a sudden persecution comes, it uses another word here, tribulation. So when your personal tribulation time comes, or when persecution comes, if you're not grounded in truth, you're not grounded in Christ through the word of God, here's what happens: you'll get offended, all right? So we know this, that which is valleys are going to come. They're going to come. Something else we know about valleys are unpredictable. They're unpredictable. Here's what it says in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, destruction upon destruction is cried. It says, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly, it says, are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. All right, so here's what Jeremiah said. He said it just happened suddenly. Didn't expect it. It was destruction upon destruction, so much so that it caused me to cry. All right, so he said, here's some things that came in my life. Didn't expect them. I didn't plan for them. They were unexpected. I was unprepared. They just happened. By the way, sometimes valleys happen suddenly. Sometimes they happen unexpectedly. Sometimes you're having a good day. All of a sudden, your good day turns into a bad day. Sometimes, all of a sudden, that which is causing you to be on top side will cause you to be on bottom side. You're driving along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden now, telephone rings, not good news. Maybe you're riding along, you stop by the post office, you pick up the mail, you find a letter, not good news. Maybe somebody texts you, email you, or some other way of communication with you, and all of a sudden you get some bad news. Maybe it's a freak accident, you're just kind of going along, and all of a sudden your tire goes flat. Somewhere along the course of your drive, you picked up a nail. Those things that just happen suddenly. By the way, sometimes valleys happen suddenly. Those things just kind of catch you broadside and you don't know what to do about it. Okay, so valleys are going to happen. Statement number two, sometimes valleys are unpredictable. Are you ready? Sometimes valleys are impartial. There's a verse in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 where it says this. It says, ye, listen to it now, that ye may be the children of, it says, of your Father which is in heaven. says, for he maketh the sun, listen to it very carefully, to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. You walk outside and it's raining. Sunshine just don't happen only to follow you around. Just doesn't happen. You know, all of a sudden, okay, if I walk over here, it's raining all around everybody, all over everybody but me. I've got my personal heavenly umbrella. So wherever I walk, the rain stops. Now, can I tell you that's not going to happen? You said, but I'm saved, Pastor. I should never suffer persecution. I'm saved, preacher. I should never have to go through trials. Sometimes when you go through trials, you just need somebody else to hold the umbrella over you. I appreciate J.J. Fenton. I didn't ask him to do it. I don't know if Brother Nash did or not. I'm not really sure who did. Brother Nash, I will say this. We have a security team that kind of helps out with some things around the church now, and Brother Nash oversees that. And I don't know if J.J. picked this up. I don't know if you assigned it to him. I have no idea. But J.J. just kind of follows me around in the services. Somebody hands me something, I just hand it to him. He follows me to the office. He's right there beside me the whole way. Now, I can appreciate that. Brother Bell watches me walk down the aisle. Appreciate that. Yeah, other men, they just kind of hang around me. Hey, I like that. I like that. Okay? Sometimes you just need some people around you just to be a blessing. And I love it. I walk down the hallway, and now I'm shaking hands and loving people. Hey, I think that's the way it ought to be in church. I think we ought to enjoy each other's presence. May I say, listen, in church, here's what we find out, though. Even in church, you suffer sometimes. You suffer sometimes. I was at home, and Mrs. Stead fell down yesterday. And so I was texting Brother Stead back and forth. One of my boys told me about it. Then Brother Craig texted me about it or called me about it. And so I double-checked on the Steads. And Mrs. Stead was in the Sunnyvale Hospital. And, of course, if you know Mrs. Stead, she's got a delightful spirit. I mean, you can't get around the lady when she's down. She is just never down. And so I'd come home. I got home about 6:30 or so, and I was just tired. About 7:30, man, I got my bedclothes on, you know, and I'm just walking around, just chilling out. I go over to the table. I'm sitting there. I do most of my studying on the living room table. So I've got, you know, a Bible open, maybe some books kind of spread out all over the place, preparing for the Sunday morning, Sunday night sermon. I've got my computer open. I've got an iPad open. I mean, I've got all sorts of stuff. I mean, I'm pulling from this and putting this document here and adding this in and looking up verses over here. I mean, it looks like a total mess at the kitchen table. I mean, just a total mess. And all of a sudden, I text Brother Stead, we were texting back and forth, and I said, hey, look, I love you, and I love your precious wife. If you need me there, I'll be there. I'll be there. And then he didn't text back, and I said, no, I'm serious. If you need me, I'll be there. I sure do love you. And he said, okie dokie. I said this. I said, all you got to do is just ask me to come. You know. And he said, hokey dokey, I'm asking. And I thought, hey, that's neat. And so I went in, I changed, I said, hey, boys, you want to go? So the only two boys left at home. And so Josh said, hey, Dad, I'd like to go. Jared said, I'd like to go. I said, that's great. Who's driving? And so Josh said, I'll drive. I said, that's super. We'll take your car. And so we got in his car, or went down, and got to the hospital, you know. And, man, you know what's at the hospital? Sick people. Man, we walked in, the lobby was full of sick people. There's people wearing these masks, and I'm thinking, thank the Lord. You know, I don't want to get it. Whatever you got, I don't want to get it. You know, went back in, talked with, they were already back in the emergency room there area, and so we were back there and fellowshipping. Mrs. Stead, they gave her a happy pill, and so she is, you know, her happiness is generated now to the top, you know. And so, and we're fellowship and we're talking and she's laughing about everything. I could not tell a bad joke that night. You know, now wait a minute. Did you know that when trials come, when valleys come, they are going to happen. They're going to be unpredictable. I promise you, she did not get up and say, tonight I'm falling down. Didn't happen. You know, they come and they're unpredictable, and sometimes they're impartial. Here's what that Bible says of yours and mine. It says that there's rain that God sends. The Bible says, and sendeth rain. Who does? God sendeth rain. On who? The just and the unjust. Well, preacher, I thought that when I got saved, I would never get down. Preacher, I thought that when I got saved, I'd never get depressed. I'd never have a lonely hour. I just thought it would be Jesus and I walking on the cloud. That doesn't happen. There's reality here. You can't live at Disney World. You can't live a fantasy life. Older you get, the more aches and the pains might come your way. Good thing about it, the older you get, the less you remember your aches and your pains that come your way. But impartial, you're not immune to those things that come your way that are called valleys. You're not insulated from them. Life is real. Life does happen. Now, I wish that life wasn't so real sometimes. I wish we didn't have problems. I wish we didn't have trials. I wish we didn't have difficulties. I wish we didn't have disturbances or downtimes. I wish that nobody would face a depressional glitch in their life. I wish that everybody would be happy. I wish that every time I saw you, you'd have a smile on your face, and all you talked about was how much you love Jesus. I wish you'd never complain. I wish that every time I saw you in the hallway, you'd give me a big old goober smile, earlobe to earlobe. I'd shake your hand. I'd say, how you doing? And you would say, happy in Jesus. It's wonderful, Pastor. Wow. But you know, most of the people I shake hands with don't do that. You know, I say, how you doing? And they say, well, let me tell you. And they do. And you'll walk away thinking, why did I ask that question? All right, now wait a minute. Watch this. But those valleys are impartial. They come to everybody. They come to everybody. I was in the Philippines, broke a tooth while I was preaching in the Philippines. Yeah, that's the way I felt. Ooh. Broke a tooth while I was in the Philippines. I thought, wow, you know. Now, it was already breaking. I knew it was going to happen. And so I was praying. I didn't eat on that side. I mean, for 4 weeks before going to the Philippines, I chewed on this side. The muscles over here is much bigger now than the muscles over here. But I got a friend of mine that's from Saudi Arabia. He's my personal dentist in Manila and treats me good. And so I just kind of waited. You know, and when it would get painful over here, I just put some of that orange gel on stuff, and I just keep on going. But I knew if I could wait to the Philippines, what was going to cost me over here about $3,000, $4,000 would only cost me about $175 over there. And so I just waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, okay? Now, wait a minute. And so what I'm saying is this, I didn't plan for that. I didn't plan for that. My little girl, Rebecca, she has a spunky, if you know her, spunky attitude. Always laughing, always cutting up. Really a joy to be around. Just spunky. You know, always jabbing at people. Now, if you don't know it and you can't take it, you might get offended. But then you look at her and she's got this goober smile on her face like, got you. But always that spunky attitude. All right, wait a minute, watch this. And to see her drop off like that, it's like, whoa. All right, now I'm saying that these valleys that we go through are impartial to people. You walk outside, it's raining, it's going to rain on you. You walk outside, it's dark, it's going to be dark on you. You walk outside and the sun is shining, hey, Wintry months, hot summers. You live here, I live here. You don't have your personal air conditioner over your head in the summer that God provided just for you. All right, now wait a minute. So the valleys, they're going to happen. They're unpredictable. They're impartial. You ready? Valleys are temporal. Have you ever figured this out? Valleys come, stay with me, and valleys go. Here's what I learned years ago. I'm 52. I'll be 53 in February. Here's what I learned years ago. You just stay. Brother Palmer, why are you laughing? You have a birthday tomorrow? How old are you going to be? 53. Let's go back to the truth here. Keep believing that. That's a good belief. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, here it says, wherein, says ye greatly rejoice, says, though now for a season, listen to it, now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, wait a minute, manifold, that's more than one. That's more than one. You go to some burger joints and you can get the quarter pounder, the double quarter pounder, or the whole cow. Just kind of builds. I was out soul winning on doing follow-up Saturday afternoon. Brother Fitton was with me. We went to some, I said, hey, let's go over here and grab a burger. He said, no, let's go to that one over there. He said, that one has real grease. He said, that one's good. And I said, well, okay. So we went over there. And I'm telling you, I mean, it was, you know, and they had these burgers. I mean, you know, it was like a single stack, a double stack, a triple stack. I mean, it just kept going. So that your mouth couldn't, like, fit. You had to run into it in order to get it. Now, I'm saying, you know, valleys come. Now, valleys are temporal. Don't jump off from serving God while you're in the valley. I'll tell you what, I need to make a decision because I'm down. Worst time in your life to make a decision is when you're down. Worst time in your life. Well, things aren't going my way, so I guess it's just getting out time for me. It's never getting out time for you when you're down. Your decision maker is broken. Wait till your decision maker is made whole and you're healthy before you make a decision. You never make, okay, don't, well, our marriage is not going well. I guess I just need to go ahead and get out. No. No, that's when it needs more your attention, not less. Well, you know, this child of mine, I wish they were never born. Too late. You've already got them. Now don't turn your back on them. Turn your face towards them. Look, when your child has trouble, you don't run from them. You run to them. You walk beside them. You love them. You embrace them. You help them. You don't walk away from them. I announced something Sunday night about Josh and Mindy, and I had to do something there. And Josh kept bugging me over and over again. And Mindy kept saying, hey, Dad, would you go ahead, tell the church. Now, why did they want me to do that? Let me tell you one of the reasons they wanted me to do that, because they realize that you love them. Why would they want to tell somebody anything that did not love them? That was their desire. They knew that if they said something that they would get more love. By the way, how many men have gone up to him and said, man, I love you? He said, Dad, I've gotten more hugs than I've ever gotten before. He said, from some men, I don't even know. Okay, now wait a minute. I'm saying this, valleys. Okay, valleys are temporal. You're gonna go through valleys. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through hardships. It's not time to dive out. It's time to dive in. Now, here's what it says. It says manifold temptations. But now notice what it says here. It says, though now for a season. Though now for a season. You know, years ago, I think 22 years ago, I became allergic to the refined white sugar. Can't have it. If I have it, my throat swells shut. My fingers begin to get webs in between them. I look like a fish out of water. I can't breathe. Everything on me, it begins to itch when I eat that white, refined sugar. Just can't do it. Have to be careful about eating candy bars, about all that stuff. I just got to be careful about it. I think the last time I had a candy bar was probably, I don't know, maybe 15, 16, 17 years ago. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. All right, I'm still waiting for that, where it says right here in our Bible. See what it says right here? It says in our Bible, it says, though now for a season. I'm still waiting for my season to end. You don't know when your season's going to end. You have no idea. Well, you know, I'm a diabetic and I want to get over it. You don't know when your season's going to end. Well, I got rheumatoid arthritis and all the other itis, brothers. You don't know when your season's going to end. You have no idea. You see, when we go through these times of, and notice what it says here. Look in your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Notice the wording here. It says, if need be, it says that your heaviness. Oh, what is a valley? It's heavy. It's heavy. It's hard to get out of bed. It's hard to operate. It's hard to function. It's hard to think. You know why? It's like a shadow. It's like a cloud. All right, when that heaviness comes, what do you do? He says, just remember, he said here, and it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. All right, so what do I do? Heaviness comes. God says, okay, first off, realize it's only for a season. Realize this, however, God's in charge of the season. But he says, no matter how long the season, he says this, wherein ye greatly rejoice. So what am I supposed to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. You ever see somebody that has a broken arm and they're happy? I have. I've seen little children, you know, a little girl, she has a broken arm and she has a pink cast. She comes up, she's smiling, and she'll say, I broke my arm. Will you sign it? Well, how could you be happy? Well, I don't think she was happy about the broken arm, but she was happy about the pink cast. You know, along with every single problem that you go through, you're going to have some perks. Can I tell you, though? You got to look for them. You got to look for them. You see, when you look for them hard enough, you're going to find them. That's how come he said, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Look for ways to rejoice. Well, preacher, I've got this burden. Okay, here's what you do. No matter what your burden is, get this. Preacher, I've got this burden. I don't know what to do. Here's what you do with your burden. You look for things in that will cause you to rejoice. There's going to be something there. Two guys went to Africa. One guy sent the telegraph back. He says, I can't sell shoes here. Nobody wears them. Other guy in Africa said, please, send them all. Nobody wears shoes here. Great place to sell them. One guy saw the glass half full, other one saw it half empty. You can go outside and say, it's raining, I'm going to get wet. Or you could say, man, it's raining outside. Hey, we needed water. There might be a rainbow that comes up at the end. Can't wait till it's over to see what pops up. Hello? Mike Ray, friend of mine, you heard him at youth conference. Mike Ray pastors in Napa, California. And he said, man, on New Year's Eve, we did it right. He said, you know, just everybody's happy. Man, we're just all happy. He said, so I thought I'd do it right. He said, we had confetti everywhere, balloons everywhere. When people came to church New Year's Eve, balloons everywhere, confetti everywhere. He said, man, I had it so that the confetti was blown. He said, man, we just had a great time that night. He said, we cleaned up all the mess. About 3 days later, I had a funeral. He said, oh, it's getting so hot and stuffy in there. I had to turn on the air. And he said, when I did, some of the confetti got up into the air conditioner units. When I turned on the air, confetti started blowing everywhere. He said, it just wasn't suit for the occasion. I'm saying that valleys are temporal. You know, sometimes those valleys that you go through, they don't last an awful long time. So why get down and depressed about it? Let me give you this. You ready? I'm done. Here it is. I'm done. You ready? Valleys are purposeful. Here's what it says. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. I said I'm done. This one has extra. It's got 5 pages right here. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, here's what it says. It says, the trial of your faith is as being much more precious than gold that perisheth. He said, so your trial compared to gold is worth more. He says, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said, so the way you ought to look at your trial, compare it to gold and say about your trial that is more valuable than gold. Listen to it. James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, listen to it, wanting nothing. So he says, when you go through a trial, when you go through that which is a temptational time, he said, first off, count it all joy. Second off, realize it's got to work, that it's working inside of you. Third off, realize that you're going to become more mature by the end of it, so much so that you can make it all the way through without wanting anything. You know why? Because our faith is what makes it so. You'll have financial trials. You're going to have all sorts of emotional trials. You're going to have maybe an accident that comes your way, a freak work of nature that just happens to work its way. Maybe there's a problem. Maybe there's a character flaw. Maybe there's a change of maturity. But I'm telling you, it can work out for the best. Watch this. Let me show you this, and I'm closing. Look at it. Lamentations, if you have your Bible, see it. Lamentations chapter 3. This is Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 18. Here's where Jeremiah is at the first look at a trial. You ready? First look at the trial, Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah looks at the trial and he says, this is the way. And by the way, this is the way that we view trials. Lamentations chapter 3, look at verse 18. The Bible says, and I said, my strength, listen to it now, and my hope is perished from the Lord. Wow, pretty dark. Preacher says, I tell you what, this is something God can't even handle. He says, my strength and my hope, they're perished from the Lord. Wait a minute, watch what it says. Look at verse 19, Lamentations 3:19. It says, remembering mine affliction. It says, listen to it now, my misery. It says, the wormwood, and it says, the gale. Now watch what it says in verse 20. It says, my soul, it says, hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. He said, man, I just went through this most humbling experience I ever had in my life. It humbled me. It was so dark that I thought even the Lord perished. I'm in darkness so much that I couldn't see God in any of it. By the way, that's the way we view trials. When we go through trials, we say, I don't understand this. God, I can't see you in this. God, I just can't see my way out of this. God, it is so dark. There's such a cloud over my head. I can't even see your hand in this. Oh, wait a minute. Notice how it continues. Look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. He says, this I recall in my mind. It says, therefore have I hope. So what do you do? First reaction was, God, this is so dark. I can't even see you in this. God, it just seems like that there's no hope. Then he stopped. Then he remembered. By the way, are you listening to me? When you go through a trial in your life, always stop and remember. He says, I recall in my mind, therefore, I have, says, it says, have I hope? He said, I have hope. Watch it. He says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Amen. What's he doing? Now he's seeing that, wait a minute, okay, I don't understand it. I don't see the hand of the Lord, but I do remember. I do remember. You know how you pray when it seems like you're not getting your prayers answered? You reach back and say, I do remember the day I did pray and God did hear. God did hear. That will encourage your heart to pray again. You know how you keep soul winning? When you go out and you knock on a door and somebody's rude, crude, and impolite. You remember the day you knocked on the door and something good happened. Something good happened. Yesterday, who was it? Brother Edipi and I was out. I think you're my partner in the morning, right? Partner in the morning, knocked on the door, two 17-year-old girls. Came to the door, showed one how to be saved, showed the other how to be saved, both bowed their heart, received Christ as Savior. Walking down, I met Mr. Vasquez that was here this morning, walked the aisle, got saved and baptized. And wait a minute. I went up, started talking to him. He got so happy, I got hugs. You know, he reminded me of an Italian man in New York. Man, he just hugged me and said, man, this sister's so good. He said, man, I needed that. Right, now, wait a minute. Can I say this? You know, you can take, and I'm not saying be optimistic. I'm going to show you there's a difference between optimism and hope. But here's what your Bible says. Here's a man, Jeremiah, that went through the darkest day of his life, and he said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. He said, remembering my affliction, he says, I'm in misery. He said, it's like the wormwood. He said, I don't see any way out. He says, my soul is still in remembrance, and it humbles me. Then he comes back, and he says, but I recall in my mind, therefore have I hope. He says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because of his compassion, that his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good. Unto all, it says, that wait for him. It says, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should, now that's what it says, both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So here's what I said, just hope and wait. Why? Salvation's coming. Salvation's coming. Let me give you this, Romans chapter 3. Let me show you the difference between optimism. And by the way, I like optimistic people, don't you? I like it when you get around somebody and it just seems like that, man, nothing is going right. An optimistic person will try to figure out and try to overcome frustrations more than a pessimistic person. They will. You know, a pessimistic person says, well, I tell you what, it's not working. Might as well quit. Nothing's happening right. Optimistic person will look at the same circumstance and say, wow, hey, this is a neat challenge. Let's see how we can work it out right. There's a difference between a person that is an optimist and a pessimist. But let me show you something greater than an optimist. Can I do it? Can I show you one or two verses here? Look at Romans chapter 3, or Romans chapter 5, rather. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 3. Let's look at three verses, and these will be the last verses I read. Let me show you the difference between an optimist and a hope. A hope. He says, and not only so, It says, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience optimism. No, and experience hope. Hope. I'm going through it. I'm in the tunnel. I can't see, but I know there's a way out. Hope. An optimistic person says, there might be a way out somewhere. We just got to keep looking. Hope says, I know there's a way out. Hope is in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ never faileth. Look at it in verse 5. The Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It says, which is given unto us. Amen. All right? So, doesn't look like any hope, Jeremiah says. But I tell you what, I remembered how good God was. I remembered his mercy. I remembered his grace. I remember when God came through, and the same God that came through then is the same God that can come through now. That's called hope. Can I tell you what? Our hope in Jesus Christ will change everything. Will change everything. An optimistic person looks at circumstances and tries to figure it out themselves. A person that's a pessimist will look at circumstances and give up as they try to figure it out themselves. But a person that has their hope in the one that has all the answers will always get it done. Okay, all right, here we go. Illustration, you got to do it, we'll close. You ready? Optimism, right here. Optimism. Pessimist, over here. Pessimist, over here. Okay, hope, stand behind optimist. Here we go, watch this. All right, get your Bible, because your hope. Need your Bible. Pessimist. Oh, you got a Bible, you don't use it. Okay, so the pessimist would do this. He'll look at a circumstance. Okay, let's get over here. Let me show you. Stand in front of their national. Look at me. A pessimist, if you're not careful, would do this. No, turn and look at me. A pessimist will do this. A pessimist will look at every single problem is, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. Man, here we go again. Man, it's terrible. It's not going to work out. Okay, Brother Boakley, can you help me? Okay, stand right in front of me. Okay? Stand, face me if you don't mind. Okay, so here's my problem. Right here. I have a problem in my life. Now, this problem that's in my life, here's what I do. I try to work through the problem. But when I try to work through the problem, I grab for something to help me. If I'm a pessimist, what I do is I grab pessimism. Now, my problem's going to go with me wherever I go. I got my problem. Walk beside me. You're really trying to be a problem. And I pick up pessimism. When I pick up pessimism, it complicates it. Because now I got the problem and my attitude. I got this and this. Okay? Wait a minute. Go away. I've got this and a positive outlook. I think I can work it out. I'm going to work through it. I'm going to try. Hey, I read a book one day. It's in my library. I got it on my iPad. I heard somebody say a statement. I wrote it down somewhere. It's in my Bible. Okay? By the way, you don't need God in this. Anybody can be an optimist. Wait. Go away. Have a seat. But when we have hope, it changes everything. Because my hope is in Jesus Christ. I don't try to work things out. I go to the one that has all the answers that's worked everything out already. And what I do is I abide by Scripture. You say, well, preacher, what if I don't agree with the Bible? Shh. Don't tell anybody. But then at the very same time, get in the Bible enough that God changes your belief. Because God can change your belief. You ready? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Your problem is in this present world. It's in the present world. Now, you've got to put your hope in somebody that is stronger than your problem. That's Jesus Christ. Now, can I tell you, he's not a toy. He's not a trip to Disney World or Six Flags. He's real. All right, thank you. I have seen God answer prayer over and over and over and over again. I've seen God change people's lives over and over and over and over again. A parent comes to me and says, I got a teenager. They're not turning out right. Let me see your prayer list. Have you prayed for them every day? Every day. But you know, I tell you what, my dad, he's just not what he should be. Great. Have you prayed for him every day? Every day. Well, I wish my kid would be more spiritual. Have you prayed for him every day? Well, I wish my mom would straighten up. Have you prayed for her every day? Every day. Every day. By the way, are you drawing hope? Are you drawing hope? Are you saying, consider Christ? Consider Christ. Consider Christ. Years ago, I think it's back in the 70s, I'm done. Back in the 70s, they came out with this thing, what would Jesus do? Came out with little bracelets and little, necklaces and keychains and everywhere you looked. What would Jesus do? Now, can I tell you, that's not a bad question for you to ask yourself. Did you hear what I said? That is not a bad question for you to ask yourself. What would Jesus do in this situation? What would he do? What would he do? And by the way, you ought to have more of a walk with him that you don't need some little bracelet to remind you. You girls don't need a little necklace to remind you. Hello? You don't need some. Okay, you should walk with him so much that it's just second nature. God, what would you have me do in this situation? God, what would you have me do now? God, help me to do this right now. I take the right step as you order my steps now as a good man as I'm trying to be. All right, and you rely on him. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you can make it through simply by remembering hope. Remembering hope.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.